Lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God. He saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Poor old Simon Peter. He and his partners had already put in a hard day's night out on the lake. And they weren't just trying to catch food for their families. They were working hard to earn a living. They could trade the fish and to get the other things that they needed. It was one of those times, though, when no matter how hard you work, at the end of the day, you just don't have anything to show for it. Have any of you had a day like that? I know I have. I had a teacher in high school who had this saying that he would tell us, "Don't confuse activity with accomplishment. Just because you run around and write lots on your papers doesn't mean that you've actually done what you set out to do." In this case, if your nets are empty by mid-morning, you might as well go home. And so the fishermen, they were washing the nets. They'd given up on business for the day. And along comes Jesus. Now, Simon knew Jesus already. He was staying at Simon's home there in Capernaum. Jesus had healed Simon's mother-in-law. But as yet, in Luke's gospel, there's no particularly close relationship described between Jesus and Simon, who becomes Simon Peter. So on the day in question, Jesus shows up, presumably not having spent all night out fishing on the lake. But he's well rested, and he's ready to teach the eager crowds. And Jesus asks a favor. "Hey, Simon, will you let me sit in your boat and just put out a little bit from the shore, would you?" I can imagine Simon kind of sighing and rolling his eyes, like, here we go again. But he doesn't put up too much fuss at first. As soon as the lessons were over, they'd all get to go home and rest. It would be okay. But then, it doesn't quite work out that way. Instead, when Jesus is done with the crowds, he says to the fishermen, "Hey guys, you know what you need to do now. Put out into the really deep water over there. No, farther. Keep going. Keep going. There you go. Once we get there, you're going to let down your nets for a catch." And this time Simon does more than roll his eyes. "Look, Jesus, Master, I really respect you, but you know we already tried that. All night long, in fact. Those nets we were washing, yeah, they're clean now, meaning we're done for the day." Well, Luke doesn't record Jesus saying anything here in the midst of Peter's lines, but you might imagine a certain look, reminding Simon of a certain healing of a certain person's mother-in-law that not so long ago. At any rate, Simon changes his tune slightly. "Okay, if you say so. And then, drum roll please, the predictably unexpected outcome. There's so many fish, the nets were about to break. They had to get the guys from the other boat to help. They filled both boats. The boats were so full they nearly sank. It's amazing. Eyes popping, jaws dropping all over the place. It's a good story. And now Simon, who is called here Simon Peter for the first time in Luke's gospel, he suddenly gets the feeling that maybe his attitude needs a little work. Because this isn't just a display of Jesus' knowledge of where the fish like to hang out on the lake. It's not just fishing intuition on Jesus' part. Simon suddenly realizes that he is in the presence of the Holy. And he falls to his knees, possibly afraid for his life. Because in the Hebrew scriptures, the presence of God was powerful enough and dangerous enough to actually kill you. And so Simon drops to his knees and says, "Get away from me, Lord. I am just a mere mortal. I am sinful. I am not worthy of being in your presence." Simon is moved to acknowledge his own limitations because he is in the presence of a power so great that it evokes awe and humility in all who encounter it. This encounter with the Holy is a powerful vehicle for transformation. Sometimes that encounter is experienced as a divine calling or vocation. Pastor Betty preached about calling last week. But this call story, if you want to think of it that way, it's different from the calling of Jeremiah or Isaiah, the Hebrew prophets. There's no sudden voice from heaven. There's no spiritual dream of angels. There's no burning bush and magical voice speaking to someone of a different purpose for their individual life than anything they had previously imagined. This story starts out in a pretty ordinary way. Simon Peter is minding his own business, literally, and Jesus shows up and asks for a small favor. "Let me use your boat for a while." Simon agrees, it's not that big a deal after all, but then he finds himself being asked something a little bit bigger and a little bit harder. Put out to deep waters and try again the thing that you think you have failed. And each yes that he gives leads to new opportunity, greater risk, and greater reward. The miracle of abundance here is different than it is in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, because these fish aren't for eating, at least in the context of the story, though I'm inclined to think that there were probably plenty of poor and hungry folks in the crowd that day who wouldn't have minded helping themselves to the bounty of fish brought in. But instead, the fishermen in this story, after experiencing the catch of a lifetime, the chance to reverse the fortunes of their earlier failure, the opportunity even to take it easy for a little while in a society where all but the top fraction of 1% had to work hard every single day just to survive. In spite of all this, Simon and James and John turned their backs on their bounty, their boats, and their livelihood. They leave it all behind to follow Jesus. That's what I mean when I talk about transformation. It's not just that one moment of transcendent awareness of the expanse of the universe or the limitlessness of God or the amazing power of God's love for you that pulls you to your knees in humility. It's about actually getting up and walking in a new direction, away from how you lived before that moment. But there's something else that's really interesting to me in this story. Though Jesus describes to Simon how his life will be different, there is still a continuity with who he has been up to that moment. Jesus doesn't call Peter to be anyone other than who he already is. He doesn't call Peter to become a carpenter or a rabbi like Jesus. But rather, he allows Simon to maintain his identity, to continue his vocation of fishing, but in an entirely new way. Jesus invites Simon Peter to become more fully himself. And so it is for all of us in responding to the call of discipleship. There is a cost, yes. There are parts of our lives that we have to leave behind when we say yes to God in Christ, not just in the moment of the first decision, but each day, our whole lives. But we are not asked to leave behind our own selves. Rather, we find our true selves. We become more fully alive as God intends each of us to be by answering this call. Sometimes saying yes to God means changing our career path, but more often we can respond to Christ's invitation by bringing new awareness to the work that we already do. Which brings me to the other piece of good news in this story. Because this metaphor of evangelism or disciple-making as fishing is something that has troubled me for a long time. Because it seems to imply that we have to either trick or trap people into the church. And that however we do it, when they get there, they'll be on their last gasp of breath. It's not a very appealing image. It's really not a good way to convince people to join your community. Look, a wriggling worm or shiny fly. Come and eat our cookies. Enjoy our childcare or food pantry or ESL classes. And then you'll be hooked on Christianity and you won't be able to get away no matter how hard you try. No, thank you. Our God is not a God who needs to trick or trap people. Not a God who seeks to manipulate us or overpower us in any way. Our God is a God who has created us with free will, the freedom to choose whom we follow, what path we walk, what we carry with us or leave behind. And so I was pleased to learn in my studies this week that in the Greek, the original language of the gospel, the word that is translated here as catching people, from now on you will be catching people, it's not directly equivalent to catching in the way that we would catch fish that we intend to kill and eat for supper. Rather, it is a word that is used to mean capturing alive or sparing life, often used in a context of rescuing from peril or death. So Jesus isn't telling Peter that his job is going to be trapping or tricking people into following their band of disciples on the road to the cross. No. He's saying, it's okay, don't be afraid. Now that you have a glimpse of the abundance of God's gracious love, it's your turn to catch people so they can live, freed from the limits that hold them, released from the fears that bind them. Now, that's a message that I can embrace more fully. We are not called to trap, trick, or manipulate people to join the church. We are called to share in the joyful work of inviting people to a place of new life, God's kingdom of abundant grace, the community of those who have been caught up in the healing and wholeness, the liberation and release that God offers to all people in Christ. We are caught to be released, not for the sport of it, but because the catching transforms us. God says to us through Jesus, come, leave behind the shallow waters of life as you have known it. Leave behind your excuses and self-doubt. Leave behind the nets that you are tangled up in. Come out to deeper waters. I am waiting there for you with the wildest bounty of abundant grace and love that you can ever imagine. Come out to deeper waters. Yes, there is a risk, but the reward is so much greater. Come out to deeper waters and discover the fullness of life I intend for you. In Christ's name, let us answer the call. Amen.